Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And we've got a huge announcement this week.
That's right, Spain.
And lots of really small ones.
Spain.
Viva España.
Wins, yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Congratulations, Spain.
Was that the big announcement?
No. The big announcement is PDC 2010.
Live from here.
From this studio, well, a few hundred people.
I don't know how we're going to get 1,000 people in this studio, but I'm pretty excited about it.
Don't tell the fire code people. Fire marshal. That's their job, right?
Yeah, you can violate a fire code.
Yeah, so October 28th and 29th, this is the first time we've had a PDC here in Redmond.
I know, it's kind of exciting. So one thing, we're looking at how to integrate Niners. So for Niners, people watching our show that happen to come, we're going to think of some cool ways to get you. We got to do tours of the campus, something.
Gaming night at your house, I think is what we decided.
I think it's going to be your house.
Oh,
but
whatever,
I'm pretty excited about that. So let's break it down. 28th and 29th.
Yes, of October.
Of October this year, 1,000 people max.
Mm-hmm.
1,000 people, $1,000.
Right.
So seats are limited. Make sure to register. Registration is now open.
Right. And so there's going to be lots of fun stuff going on campus, of course. If you read the post, they talk about how we're opening up our labs. We're going to have special tours, all sorts of stuff that's kind of coming together right now. Internet Explorer, obviously lots of stuff to talk about around Azure.
Yeah, you know, they mentioned, you know, just some of the high-level topics. They don't have the sessions yet. Cloud services, phone, Azure. Tools and technologies, so kind of a broad stuff. I think over the next coming weeks, you'll see them fill out the exact sessions and the session detail. Now, another cool thing is we'll be doing effectively Channel 9 Live there, taking Q&A from people, and the sessions and keynotes will be streamed live. So for those of you who can't make it, or this event is going to sell out,
oh, yeah,
those of you
sure.
who can't make it, you can at least watch the streams on the tubes.
Right. That's right.
So cool. I'm really excited about PDC. It's like people coming to our house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bienvenidos. So WPC was this week, Worldwide Partner Conference.
No, you were there.
I was, over in D.C. I had to leave before Bill Clinton spoke. That would have been cool to see him. But a couple of announcements coming out of that. And so this one is a video we have on Channel 9 where Steve Marks breaks it down for us. But
with
basically,
Ryan Dunn, yeah.
That's right. And so we're going to be selling Windows, Azure, platform appliances.
Yes.
So you'll be able to buy these from some of the larger OEMs. Is it Dell,
Fujitsu, HP.
HP. And then one customer already, eBay, is starting to use these internally. So basically the idea is that, you know and love Windows Azure. It deploys out to the cloud, but you can also host this on premises. So for people that want to have really tight, secure control over their own data.
You don't want your data in a Microsoft server. You want your data isolated. You want to run the stuff, but you want all the benefits of Azure.
Right. So it's going to be, as a developer, you deployed out to this the same way that you would, but now you've got it on your own data centers, on your own premises.
You can scale up, scale mm-hmm. down, all the monitoring, all the infrastructure on top of Azure that you'd get.
Right. And some people have compliance and regulatory issues that say that they have to have this.
Yes.
Yeah, if you're I don't know, the CIA, you're not going to push your stuff up
my
to the public
cloud.
My CIA
file is huge.
You I can't, know.
Yeah, it's not going to fit on a Microsoft
file. I understand.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
How's that no-fly list treating you?
We're not going to talk about that. But there was, in related spy news, a one of the Russian guys, the 12th Russian person, was ex-Microsoft, apparently.
Wow.
I know. Tim Sneath talked about it, so there you go.
No kidding.
Shout out to Tim Sneath.
Wow, you heard it here first.
Okay, so what was there anything else on the Azure platform appliance that we
I can't top that, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't run it on your own hardware.
You can't run on your own hardware.
Yeah,
so you have to get these appliances.
Yeah, there's specifics, like minimum things. So you can't, you know, I have a 486 box that Azure runs terribly on. you can't. So
okay, that's good to know. Well, so much for my basement Azure farm.
Could you imagine? I was thinking about that, dude. How awesome would that be?
Yeah.
It's like my DVD ripping farm. But I would never rip DVDs.
No. Windows Phone 7 Dev Tools Beta. So you've been putting up with the community technology previews and all those updates for
putting
a while.
Putting up with. Okay.
Now we're officially at the beta. So this beta came out on Monday. So Brandon Watson has all the details on his blog.
Yeah, so a couple things to mention here. You'll start seeing some of the new tools. There's a lot of breaking changes in terms of APIs, usage, and things where they try to simplify the API. Look at the README, and you'll see it's kind of broken down in the different areas, pickers, choosers, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
New tools that ship with it. One of them is an unlock tool. Now, this unlock tool is when you buy a Windows phone, say, from Best Buy or whatever, you can't deploy an app to it. You as a developer cannot deploy an app until you unlock it. And the unlocking process goes to the developer site and does all the things, sends the information to the cell phone to actually unlock it such that you can deploy apps before deploying to the marketplace, that wonderful cloud.
Mm.
Now, so a lot of cool stuff within the developer tools, better performance on the emulator, better defaults for the emulator as well for some of the pickers and choosers. But my phone was one of the things that was announced at WPC as well.
That's right. This is one of the best-kept secrets of Windows Phone, in my opinion. I use my phone all the time. They've announced that it's going to be supported on Windows Phone 7, and you're going to have 25 gigs of storage in the cloud, which I can't imagine ever using 25 gigs. Someone will probably be quoting me on this 20 years from now, like mm-hmm. the famous Bill Gates 640K reference. But seriously, yeah. Like the basic idea with my phone is two things. One is you can back up all of your pictures, all of your videos, all of your text messages. Mm. You can also choose to archive these. So maybe I've got a billion text messages on my phone. I might want to keep those for whatever reason, but I don't want those actually on my device the entire time. You can mark those for archive, and that'll live in your private storage.
Now, can I access your text messages? Because I've tried to do this, and you get very
you have
angry.
Tried, yeah, you have, and no, you cannot.
Okay,
so it's protected to my Live ID. Mm. But the other thing that you can do too is you can also there's a tool on there that you can use to help find your phone. So if it gets lost or stolen, then you can take advantage of the built-in GPS capabilities and yada 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 to try and find your phone. So that's pretty cool too.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, for developers, now that the tools are out. Once you install that CTP, and remember to actually click on the Developer Phone Express thing to uninstall as opposed to manually going through and uninstalling the different pieces.
Mm.
But you get it on there, you want to learn what's going on, and there's all these breaking changes in the APIs. Yohai, Kiriati, and team have updated the Windows Phone 7 training course. So on Channel 9 under /learn, somewhere up there, is the Windows Phone training course, and you can go through and includes some new samples, updated samples, and obviously everything works with the beta,
mm-hmm.
but the notification services have been updated, and it actually includes a nice Windows Phone app that lets you simulate, and the matching Windows Phone and Windows 7 app such that you can simulate, and I think it's running, it's in WPF.
Oh, okay, so
you can simulate
server notifications, and you pop those off the queue, and then show what your device would do once it gets those.
Yes, the push notifications services.
Nice.
So
nice, awesome.
Yeah. So cool samples to play with.
Now all we need is a phone. That'd be nice.
Yes.
So CodePlex now supports click once.
Yeah, this is
huge.
Yeah, so the way it works is looking at this. Or actually, why don't we read from here? projectname.codeplex.com/releases/click once.
And so for people that don't know, click once is basically a deployment and updater technology. So a lot of actually at Microsoft, the internal applications that we use are all click once deployed. Every time you launch those applications, you can launch them off the start menu or by going to a web application, then they will check to make sure you're running the latest version of those apps. If not, they'll push the latest version down to you. So it makes it just brain dead simple for you to deploy and update your rich client applications.
Yeah, and I think the real sizzle here is the updating, where what happens is if you're using ClickOnce and I have a ClickOnce application and I go to run it, it'll actually call the server, call mm-hmm. CodePlex, see if there's a new version, and if there is a new version, it'll let me know, hey, there's a new version of this app,
yep.
Download it. And, I mean, that's a real pain to install or get a new server on, so...
Yep.
Everything's built in.
And with ClickOnce, you can also either require that your users are running the latest update, or you can opt into installing the latest update as well. You can make that configurable. So maybe you want to push out like a beta of your client and have people opt into whether or not they want to grab the beta, or you want to force them to grab something because you have a security fix in there. And actually, Mike Sampson, Sampy from the Channel 9 team, worked on the original implementation.
I know. I give him hell all the time. Way to go, buddy.
Nice.
Josh Blake has a natural user interface library that's now on CodePlex, and he has a new book, which, not to plug books, but Unless they're ours. Unless they're ours.
Right, of course. Yeah.
But this is multi-touch with Windows. But the idea is using WPF and Surface, a series of controls, a series of gestures that allow you to simulate a touch and to use touch within your applications. So he's got some really cool controls. One of them is called, I think it's like Infinite Canvas, if I remember correctly. Hmm. That basically allows you to zoom. You can imagine just, you know, having tons and tons of either zoom or content laid out that you can just continually say pan through.
Cool.
Right. So a lot of cool stuff to go through. And, you know, one of the things is CodePlex projects, a lot of times there isn't documentation for these APIs. There's a book.
Right.
Yeah. So it is MSPL, but he is asking people to pick up the book.
Nice. So gzipped your downloads. So this is Miguel de Casa,
yes,
of Mono fame.
I have heard of him.
Yes. And he's basically pointing out that that you can, when you request a file from a web server, you can actually do so and request it to be gzipped on the server on the fly. And if the web server supports that, it'll send it back. If not, it'll return a 406.
Yeah.
And then you can just fall back to getting it regularly. So just another cool tip that people may not know. So if you're building clients that are supposed to download applications.
Yeah, and you're doing it from a smart server, mm-hmm. It's going to mean less time on the pipes.
Yes.
So
in the tubes.
In the tubes.
Yep. You can
this
use smaller
cool.
tubes.
Yeah.
Hardware selected for the machine of God.
Yes.
God's own machine.
God's own machine. The ultimate developer PC.
So Hanselman's been working on this for a while.
Yeah, and we have covered this on This Week on Channel 9 with Larry as well. He was on a podcast and mentioned this last week. But now they actually have hardware.
Mm.
They've chosen the hardware, basically around a $3,000 budget. It's his own personal budget, it's his own funds, not
right.
Microsoft. But he's going to be building the machine, and he goes through why he selected certain things and what they selected and what he thinks the performance will be. So a lot of kind of interesting things there.
So he's going for something that has a Windows Experience Index of 7.9. Does that mean that 8 is theoretically impossible?
Theoretically impossible.
It is. Okay.
Yes. The scale goes up to 7.9.
7.59s or just like 7.9?
7.9. In fact, somebody has gotten a 7.9 on WeShare.net. Somebody
really?
in the real world has submitted their score and they have a 7.9.
God himself.
Yeah. Probably.
Nice. So he goes through why he chose each one of the components. He
yeah.
talks about the conversation he had, crowdsourcing, if you will, of people telling him what components he should or shouldn't get. And
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
So like the power wattage for, he picked a 1,000-watt thing, and people were like, oh, you don't need that much. And he's like, well, I'm going to be adding another card for another set of monitors, and I'm going to add this, and I could eventually need this, so why skimp now if I'm
right.
going to grow up into something better?
Right.
So, you know, some of the needs may be different than the average bear if you don't have the grid of monitors that
right.
Hanselman has. But you get to hear why he chose something.
Yeah, but can it run Azure?
Can it run Azure?
Will it blend?
That's really the
inside question. The Razer parser. So you did this video, right?
No, Charles did the video. I did the original video on announcing Razer.
Okay.
This is Charles then going in that video. I actually say, wow, this is crazy how they do the syntax highlighting and parsing, because there is no begin and end tag. There is only a begin tag.
Back up. So what is Razer?
Razer is the idea being, it's kind of being called, Razer is the name of the syntax,
mm-hmm.
but it's being called ASP.NET Web Pages. So ASP.NET Web Pages allows you to build web pages, I guess, simpler, easier. Maybe classic ASP is a good model to conceptualize, or for competition, like PHP style pages. You know, I do an include for the header and the footer. I can do inline really easily and fully control my HTML, as opposed to server controls that you don't even know what HTML is because it just spits out
yeah.
the code for you. So Razer is a syntax, and it does a lot of crazy stuff for highlighting and knowing what's when I'm in the context of .NET code. That can be VB, C# or other languages, or HTML code. So he actually goes deep, if you will, on how that works.
Got it. Cool. Pick of the week. So,
Picks of the week.
So my pick always got to fall back to the TFS news. So this actually came out July 3rd, but since I wasn't here for Friday's show, I get to carry this one forward. So a lot of people ask for this. So Team Foundation Server, of course, is a great place to do your project management, to track all the work that's happening with your individual software development project. Mm-hmm. But a lot of organizations, especially those of you who are in enterprises, also use Project Server to track IT projects. And they may include development projects. They may also include, like, hey, we need to install a new sprinkler system, or hey, we need to go, you know, patch all these servers to Windows Server 2008. So they're not necessarily, you know, development projects you're dealing with all the time. The problem is you've got the project management office that wants to run things with Project Server, and then you've got the development teams who are used to using Team Foundation Server, and today you've got to do a lot of manual data interchange to synchronize the two. And so this is something people have been asking for a while. There's some do-it-yourself options available on CodePlex today, but what we're delivering is going to be out-of-the-box native integration between Team Foundation Server 2010 and Project Server, either version 2007 or 2010. And so what that'll give you is the ability to synchronize automatically from projects that are running in TFS, and so you can automatically roll that status back up to what's happening in Project Server. The other thing you could do is you can set up workflows so that if someone wants to change something over in TFS, a project schedule gets changed, then that proposed change goes through the PMO office, and they say, well, if you do that, actually that other resource isn't available because we need Joe for this other project somewhere else. So what if you can have that conversation, right? So this is the community technology preview. This is the first pre-release that we're making available. It's available as a virtual machine only, but what's cool about it is the product team has made sure that you have 4 walkthroughs you can run through. So if you're interested in this, you can go download the virtual machine and run through them. And my pick of the week is way less exciting than your pick of the week, which is...
this came to us via Greg Duncan, but King's Quest, the first version, first episode is available. And basically these are some folks that were building a version of King's Quest using an updated 3D engine, so the graphics are going to be much better than the 16-bit Pan.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember Pan, but...
Oh, yeah. I bet Pete Brown remembers. Commodore, baby.
So it is available now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking to build, and there was a bunch of stuff on whether Activision would actually let them and licensing, and they gave them apparently a special non-commercial license
for
this.
Wow, awesome.
So, yeah, I think this is kind of brilliant. Yeah. So, kudos to them, and now I know what I'm doing this weekend.
Nice, very cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll see you next week then.
Thanks, everyone.